Thank you, my dear, and thank you for reminding me. Okay. Let's, I'm going to close that door.
Close the door, John, when you get in. Thank you.
It's good to be with you all this morning. So as we begin, might just take a look around the space you are in, the physical space you are in. For some of you, might be here in person. You're in the chapel at Unity. For those of you who are at home, you're in one of your own comfortable, special places. And at the same time, we are connected with one another. We sort of made a contract with one another. I will consciously walk with you on Sunday morning. Yes, I will be involved in my own healing, in my own growth, in my own evolution. And at the same time, I am willing to be involved with yours as well. And it is a privilege, it is a blessing, this unique opportunity that we share with one another. In this unique moment that will never happen again, and I have a choice. Will this moment enhance the universe in more love and more compassion and more gratitude? Or will it not? I have chosen to be here in love and compassion and growth and evolution. And I am grateful that you are with me to remind us that we are never alone. Going to begin on page 119. And of course, anytime you have a comment or a question or elucidation, please don't hesitate to jump in. It was great this morning. I'm seeing some, even though I don't see your faces, I see some names that I haven't seen in a while. So you're always welcome. This is a paragraph we ended with. In the middle of the page. The arbitrary nature that you assume is there. Everything happens by accident. There is no recourse. We are stuck on this plane without a solution. It's simply another way to defy the divine self, to decide in advance that the world you exist in and through cannot or will not be changed. So part of our work, you might say an essential part of our work, is being open to the possibility that my perception, not that the world, but my perception of the world can change. That it's possible that there can be and will be a world at peace. It's possible for me to be at peace. That's another good one. Okay. Sometimes we get so involved with the world, I forget where I am. Let me be open to the possibility that I could be at peace. Oh. And all of the other possibilities that we are opening ourselves to and opening ourselves with. And one of the ways of doing that, strangely enough, is by looking at all the things we think are impossible. Oh, that will never happen. You know, the wall will never come down. There will never be peace over there. Those hostages are never going to be released. Or whatever impossibility, or they'll never listen. They're just a violent race. They'll always be that way. Or any other impossibility that we are kind of creating in our own mind. All we're being asked to do right now is not to defy what this says, the divine self, but to be open to all of the possibilities that my soul is yearning for. And knowing that they can, or at least be open to the possibility that they can or will be true. And that comes up so often. That's kind of the first step into a higher dimension, into a deeper reality, is opening myself up to the possibility that dot, 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 whatever it is we're looking for, can be that. It's that simple and that profound. And I can ask myself every once in a while too, the question is, am I defying in some way my divine consciousness? Am I saying, oh, that's nice, but that couldn't be true? Whereas my divine consciousness, anything is within the realm of possibility, including peace of mind, including peace in the world, including compassion over fear or hatred. Here we are tonight, or we could say here we are this morning, because the guides are just as present here in this moment with us as they were when this book was being dictated. I know that's a real shift in consciousness, but it's very, very true. They're right here, right now. Because they are living in timelessness. Not saying, you're either there 5 years ago or you're there now. You see, it doesn't matter. We're here then, we're here now. Here we are this morning in a gathering of energy, in an awareness of one another here in this form, in this place, in this physical form, in this physical reality that we find ourselves in. As we operate through the man Paul, we have respect. We have to respect the form he stands in. He has a dense vehicle, don't we all? He has a dense vehicle. When the body is injured, he cannot work as well. Not true for most of us. We must support the agreement of those of you who come into form to nurture the body, to be fed, to be housed, to be gifted with what you need to live a life that may demonstrate the teachings. We do not wish you anything but what you need to be realized through. But in a dense form, you still have resources and access to the higher teachings. So even though the form we have chosen, planet Earth, as well as the physical bodies we live in, is rather dense material. Hello? We don't always connect. Could have had a V8, could have done this different. Hello, is anybody in there? Even though that's true, doesn't block the circumstances that allow us to choose higher consciousness. How could I see this differently? That continues to be my prayer. Lord, that I may see. How can I see this differently? Because I know that I'm stuck in outrage or judgment or fear or separation or whatever it might happen to be. And as soon as I recognize that, which, by the way, some days takes longer than others. I mean, I can wake up with a thought of separation and stay that way all day long without even realizing that's what I'm doing. But once I begin to realize that, then the choice comes in. Oh. And I must say that I believe all of us, everybody here this morning, has access to that ability to choose much better than you might have had, let's say, 6 months ago. Because we're not the same. We are not the same. But in a dense form, you still have recourse and access to the higher teachings. In a dense form, you still have recourse to higher teachings. What does step 11 in the 12 steps say? Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. What a beautiful summation of the whole thing. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge, praying only for the awareness of how to be able to put that into practice. That's simple and that profound. And we have that choice every moment. I don't realize that every moment, but we have that choice every moment. As you become a beam of frequency, a beam of frequency means the aspect of you that is the divine is actually reaching to the heavens or higher vibratory fields or dimensions, if you prefer. Some of you like that name. It is to present as you, and you become the conduit for the divine. Now, here's a model I've been working on, and I know I've expressed this a number of times before, but it seems to catch my attention. So many spiritual, I wouldn't say so many, that's rather arrogant of me to even say that out loud. There are some spiritual paths that seem to have embedded in part of their practice that getting rid of the ego and the personality and making it an illusion, saying that's not who you are. And I understand what's one of the things that's going on there. Is that we've become so identified with our personality self, our ego consciousness, that we come to think of it as who we are. But what, John, just 1 second, let me just finish this thought, okay? Even though you've heard it probably a million times anyway, might come out differently this time. We come to realize that I am not my personality, I am not my ego consciousness, but instead of throwing it away or making it the enemy, what happens, I believe, in this work that we're doing is my personality and my ego that I have created for myself become the unique lens through which the divine light that I am shines through. So that, you know, the divine light shines through you as John or Janet or Matt or Jerry or Finn or whoever it might happen to be. And the divine light shines through this unique lens in a way that it can't shine through anything else. The light that shines through that unique lens of who you truly are, or the the personality and the ego consciousness that you created, the light, how the light shines through is unique. It is never going to be that way again. It's never going to occur on planet Earth again or any place else. It's why the little prince could say, you know, his rose was unique in all the world. Because the divine light that shone through that rose was unique, could not be repeated, and never could be. Yeah, John.
So I have personally been going through this transformation in my understanding of God in the last few weeks. And I'll try to keep this short, but in the last few pages we've been reading, I've been poring over this the last couple of days, going back to page 118 in the middle, it talks about instead of realigning to the source of who you are, what we do instead is go back to the physical realm to assume responsibility for our creation without knowing that what we may require to solve an issue. And I think that's exactly what I have been doing. Is I try to rely on my own resources, my own strength, my own knowledge, those kinds of things. I think sometimes in our lives we need a stimulus. We need a problem to solve, and the problem becomes too overwhelming. And sometimes it's not even something personal. There are some things that have been happening in my life that I'm aware of. And some of these, they build over time. I've mentioned some of these before. I had a cousin's daughter committed suicide. She was young. She was in middle school. She had been bullied. And she just got to the point where she committed suicide. And this has been something in my family that the fact of that she was bullied, this has stayed with me, that how could a child be so bullied that she would commit suicide? But over and over again, as I've read about mass murderers, it comes out in the stories that most of them, it seems to me, I read that they were bullied as children. Again and again and again, I read about they were bullied as children, and they somehow, this twists them, this hurts them. I've been trying to send you this article we were talking about before the class started, and if I can get this, I will send it to you. And this minister was talking about going back a step of what you were talking about. There may be a step before this, and this is that we as societies, we as individuals, must learn to forgive. Many of us were bullied as children. I don't remember really being bullied. I may have had some disagreements with others, but we must learn to forgive. And he goes into great detail of what this means to him. But if we can't forgive, then we do begin to twist, and we do begin to have this change that distorts us. And we may find that we become so angry that we finally burst into this kind of behavior that where we are going to destroy others, and we end up destroying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, in my own life, I have been looking for some way to try to come to terms with this frustration and anger at the things I see in the world, with Ukraine and with mass murderers and with all these things. And there are even some little things in my own life. So I've been turning, of course, to the guides, and I've been turning to other resources. My wife, who does not come, you know her well, but she does not come to this meeting because she has this, I'm not going to go into all that, but one of the things she does is she listens to this preacher on television, and I've begun to listen to her. And anyway, let's not go into that one. But I have this anger thing toward this kite that hangs in a tree in my backyard. It's a multicolored kite. And I look out my back window and I see this multicolored kite and I can't see the trees around it. I focus on this kite and I direct my anger at it. One of the things that this minister talks about is whatever I think about is going to get bigger in my life. If I think about beautiful things and love and what have you, that's going to get bigger in my life. If I think about peace, it's going to get bigger in my life. If I think about anger and things that I don't like, they're going to get bigger in my life. I was sitting at breakfast 2 days ago, and I looked out the window, and there was a white plastic bag hanging in the tree just underneath this kite. And I started laughing so hard, because what occurred to me was, I get so angry at this kite, and now I've got a white plastic bag. It's getting bigger. My anger has created this white plastic bag underneath this kite. And I started talking to God, and I could swear I heard this voice say, "See, look, it's just getting bigger." Yesterday, the bag was gone, and the kite was hanging down even looser than it used to be. And I said, "Thank you, God." And the voice said, "Why didn't you come to me sooner? Why don't you ask me to take care of these things?" And this is one of the things that this minister has been saying on television. Have a personal relationship with God, the divine source in this book, and have the divine source work through you. And this is what our text today is saying. You become the conduit for the divine. There are other places in here where it talks about our letting the divine work through us. I think that doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing the work. I think it's letting the divine work through our request in ways that we don't understand. And there are so many things that I'm going through right now where I have no control, but I can turn it over to God. We have a family member who's on trial for murder. Now, this is not a close family member, but wow, has this affected us? Of course. I can tell you that he was abused as a child. I'm sorry, not abused. He was bullied as a child. This goes back to the bullying and the lack of forgiveness. I am so aware of the bullying and the lack of forgiveness as a society, as individuals. I think it begins with forgiveness in our lives. We have to forgive. And so I look at Ukraine and I look at Russia and I look at all the things that are happening. And what I'm discovering in my life is I have to forgive Putin. I need to have a sense of forgiveness in all kinds of areas in my life. And that's the only way that I'm going to be able to access this area where I can become a conduit and access the divine and have these things come. Well, and I think that there have been times when I've been able to do this, and I can do better.
Sure.
So that's kind of, anyway, I appreciate your allowing me to share this much, but I mean, it's kind of like in the last week, all of this stuff has come together in joyful ways for me, and wow. It's like lightning striking. Oh, of course, that's what this means. That's what the language means. Oh, wow. In ways that I kind of knew intellectually, but now I kind of know more emotionally. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, John. Without forgiveness, the lens that the divine light shines through is very dirty. Okay. Forgiveness is one of those cleansing energies that allows the light to shine through even more and better than it was before. Still there. And in fact, this last sentence of this paragraph we just were reading, it is present, meaning the divine consciousness. It is present as you, and you become the conduit for the divine. And as you do this, the broadcast you hold, the physical vehicle you hold, is also transformed to the level of alignment that is required to hold the energy. The way Peace Pilgrim put it was, when you live up to the light you have, more will be given to you. When you live up to the light that you have, more will be given to you. Don't try to understand that with your head. Just kind of listen to what your heart says when it hears that. When you live up to the light that is given to you, when you live up to the light that you have, that has been given to you, more will be given to you. Always happens that way. As we teach you in this way, we are also supporting the physical vehicle in its transformation. In other words, we're not throwing that out. The body-mind, sometimes referred to, Eckhart Tolle refers to it as the pain body. Sometimes we refer to it as the ego and personality consciousness. As we teach you in this way, we are also supporting the physical vehicle in its transformation, because that's another piece of it. The physical being in its transformation. And what that means is where you hold density or an unwillingness to change. That's a great, great definition of density, an unwillingness to change. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, screw them. I'm going to be angry at them. They don't deserve my forgiveness. And what that means is where you hold density or an unwillingness to change, where you have calcified fear, where you've given it substance, where you give it to form, you make it into a solid reality, or frustration, the desire for revenge, the need to hoard, these aspects of you that are part of your being in a physical being, will be challenged, and the vibration you hold will be met with the light that is required to transform it. Wow. It's just what John was saying. That didn't come up by chance. Okay. Let me read that paragraph again. And I'm going to be asking this of myself and each one of us, because each one of us is going to identify with this in a little bit of a different way. Something is going to come up for you, or something's going to come up for me, excuse me, that is going to challenge my view of reality this morning. Something that I'm holding on to, something that no longer serves me, is another way of putting it. As we teach you in this way, we are also supporting the physical vehicle in its transformation. In its transformation, even the ego and the personality and the body mind will be transformed. They will be blessed. They will be made sacred. Behold, I make all things new. And what that means is where you hold density or an unwillingness to change, where you have calcified fear or frustration, the desire for revenge, the need to hoard, these aspects of you that are part of your being in a physical being will be challenged. Does this still serve me or no longer serves me? Will be challenged. And the vibration you hold will be met with the light that is required to transform it. The vibration you hold will be met with the light that is required to transform it, if I am willing. Why are they frightened, he asks. Why am I frightened, I might ask. I mean, there's stuff in my life that I'm probably fairly consciously aware that I need to let go of. What am I afraid of? Because they do not know what lies beyond the clouds. That they are so used to seeing in the dense field you have identified yourselves as and through. What is beyond the field, the energy that we've created for ourselves, the dense energy we've created for ourselves? All that is, and the kingdom, if you wish, and the kingdom, as we teach you again and again and again, is the awareness of the Creator in all manifestation. And you probably see how forgiveness works. That forgiveness, unforgiveness is separation. I'm here, you're over there. I don't see the divine in you, or I can't see it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I got a difficult time within myself. All that is, and the kingdom, if you wish, and the kingdom, as we teach you again and again, is the awareness of the Creator in all manifestation. The awareness of the Creator in all manifestation.
Jerry.
Yes.
I do find myself separating from people that are, bad or bully people, or people that kill people, or, you know, people that rob and steal. I do find myself separating from that negative energy. But what I've come to learn is kind of what John was saying, was that for me to grow, I have to integrate that, all of this, all these feelings, all of this, I have to integrate it into my divine self. So I can see through that lens, God's love.
Thank you, Diane. It's mm-hmm. not about seeing the negativity so mm-hmm. much as it is seeing through the negativity. Knowing that that's not who you are. I don't choose to condone violence or hatred or fear or separation. But I begin to recognize that it's my personality self that's judging your personality self. And I don't want my personality to get in the way of my ability to forgive. I'm struck with one incident, especially, a couple come to mind, but the one most dominant in my mind is I'm just reading a book right now about Barack Obama called Grace, that's written by one of his major speechwriter. And most of the book centers around the killing in the Baptist church that was done by a young man by the name of Dylan Ruth, who was basically a hate crime, who shot this whole Bible study class. And the day he was being arraigned, a lot of the family members of the people who were killed were there. And every one of them got up and said, I forgive you. Everyone, without hesitation. Same thing occurred years ago in a little town in Pennsylvania called Nickel Mine, where a number of young Amish schoolgirls were killed, were murdered. And the first thing the parents did of the murdered children was to go to see the wife of the man who had killed their children and gave her consolation. Said, We don't need to forgive you, but we forgive him. And the reporters who were reporting on the story was total disbelief. And the people said, that's who we are. If we don't believe that, we can't, then our, as Paul said, my faith is in vain. If we don't believe in forgiveness, then we don't believe in anything. That's who we are. And if we're holding on to anger or hatred or fear, no matter what the form, no matter what the justification might be, is we are limiting ourselves, we are limiting you, and we are limiting our relationship with the world.
Hey, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jim.
Hey, man. In the last week or so, maybe a little bit more, I've come to realize, and it's like, oh, I could have had a V8, that the divine has given me a marvelous opportunity to have a platform as someone who is an educator. And I don't even look at myself as an educator. It's more of an encourager. And so I say that is because with respect to what John said regarding bullying, one, I have zero tolerance for bullying. And I've said to the students from grades K up to fifth grade, and I'm sure I'm challenging that which is kind of given to them with respect to their community and where they get that from, but that's okay. That's okay, that's fine. I'll ask them, I said, before you speak, ask yourself, is what you're about to say, is it kind? Two, would you want it said about you or someone you love? And I'll say that, and I'll just kind of pause and I'll kind of look around the room and then I'll say something like, two wrongs don't make a right. And they'll look at me like, what does that mean? I'll kind of go into what does that mean? I said, you know, and I'll say that turn the other cheek isn't soft. Forgiveness is okay. And fourth and fifth grade, I'll have these pushback that my mom, my dad said, that's fine. That's what they think. And I suspect, well, can we see you, Ms. Wheeler, in the office? What's kind of going on? But you know, what I realize is that it's my platform. It's what we're saying. It's a conduit for me to shine this light that we're gleaming every Sunday, every Tuesday, the books that I've read, the work that I've done on myself. I can't be anything other than who I am. I recognize that. So thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Jerry.
Yeah.
One thing that just keeps coming to my mind is that darkness cannot take place in the light.
And the light has never gone out.
Never.
Never. Can't. He is asking a good question, and we will respond. So we see somebody, Paul is saying this. So we see somebody before us, and they are frightened. They are in dense frequency. How do we meet them as this light that we are, that you say that they are? Here is the simple response. They are not in dense frequency. They assume themselves to be, just as you do. They are not in dense frequency. They assume themselves to be, just as you do. Say that again a third time. They are not in dense frequency. They assume themselves to be, just as you do. An aspect of each one of you, everyone we would say, knows a unity that comes into being within them. In other words, we all have this sense. Those of us who are kind of doing Sunday morning and Tuesday evening, or just Sunday morning, or just Tuesday and one or the other, or some other group that you're part of, that we are attracted to that group of people or that essence or that book or that study or whatever it happens to be, because we know it's a reflection of that unity consciousness that we are all yearning for more and more and more. It's there. I need to be reminded of that. I need to have that come again for me. An aspect of each one of you, everyone we would say, knows a unity that comes into being with them. It is the memory of the source you are evolved from. A memory of the source you evolved from. Now, at one point in our spiritual path, that's sort of a vague, right? We say, oh, sort of almost an indefinable, vague recollection of there must be more than this. I must be more than that. And the more we study this, the more we do this kind of work, the more real that awareness becomes. It is the memory of the source you are evolved from. So the witnessing of the one before you, not in their density, but in their union, will transform them in a higher way. I see you, or I choose to see you, or I'm asking to see you as you truly are. Not what my ego is seeing, not what my personality is seeing, not what my history with you tells me you are. I choose to see beyond all of that. It's like, you know, I know I've mentioned this before. It continues to strike me as being pertinent. That wonderful vision that Thomas Merton had on the corner of 4th and Walnut of seeing everybody as beings of light. Actually, I think there's actually a plaque downtown where that occurred.
There is.
But there's another piece to that whole story that I missed the first 100 times or so around. Because I was so enamored of this miracle of, oh, wouldn't that be nice if I could see everybody as beings of light? He went on to say, what I realized, he said, was that I love all these people. I love all these people. I can't not love all these people because I'm seeing them for the truth of who they are. I'm not seeing them, oh, they're really in density, oh, those poor slobs. I am seeing them in the truth of who they are. The density is only in the density, the seeing of the density in myself or anybody else is an illusion. So the witnessing of the one before you, not in their density, but in their union, will transform them in a higher way. When I see another in their truth, when I choose to see them, that raises them. And it's not an ego trip. It's not patting myself on the back and saying, oh, I'm going to raise you up. Because when I see you in the light, when I see you as the light that you are, that is through my divine consciousness. My little limited human consciousness cannot see that. So I'm not saying, oh, I see the light you are, but you don't see it. That's too bad. That's my small self talking again. My higher consciousness, my divine consciousness, sees the light that you are because that's all it sees. Doesn't struggle with that. Doesn't say, well, I'm really struggling with seeing the light that you are. My divine consciousness is never struggling with that. It's seeing the light that you are because that's the natural thing for me to do.
Jerry, by seeing people for the light that they are, is that how they come from the darkness into the light? Because I didn't know how to help people in the dark to come into the light. But I'm hearing you say it's just by accepting them in the divine spirit.
Accepting them. Again, this does not have to be something that I do in the external world. It might be something I choose to do in the external world. But it might not. It might be just something very, very close to my heart of choosing to see you through my divine consciousness. And I don't know about you, but that's a real struggle for me. To see you in your divine consciousness. Because the flip side is also true. I have to see myself that way first before I can see you that way. And how often am I able to do that during a day? Yeah, man.
Friday, I was in a committee. I'm leading this committee of our community's response to homelessness. And it's an hour-long meeting, and everything, the police are there and some other individuals who talk and such like. And afterwards, I go and continue on my day. I think everything's great and went well. And the next day, I get a long text from someone who talked to someone who was at that meeting, who said that she was in tears because she had not been recognized in that meeting for the work that she had done. And immediately in my response, it was, how dare her? How dare her? Because, you know, that was not the purpose of the meeting, all these other types of things. And now I have to respond to this long email, and what is it? And I have all this other sort of stuff that's going on. And then it occurred to me how easy it could have been had I just been aware enough to have recognized, because I had no recognition that she was in pain and that she was really upset. How easy it would have been had I just recognized her and given, you know, something to her. And then it occurred to me, I would really like to be the type of person who could have recognized her.
Wow.
And what she just did was she gave me that gift to help myself. And, you know, that anger, that need to forgive her turned into thankfulness.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Matt. I'm reminded of what's called the fifth tradition in AA language. And says the purpose of every group, right, is to aid the alcoholic who still suffers. And I used to think that's the guy under the bridge, but could be the person sitting next to me. Right. And then I am being asked for the grace to be able to recognize that. Could be the person who saw the alcoholic who still suffers could be the person sitting next to me. And I could be totally oblivious to that because I'm so busy doing my own thing or looking over there. So that you're right. That's a powerful, powerful wake up call, not an accusation, but you know, the way you took that in was saying, you know, I wish I had the capacity to be able to see that this person was in pain, and I didn't realize that I didn't realize for whatever reason. You will be much, much more aware, much, much more attuned, I believe, to the need for compassion or understanding or even stroking their egos, okay, that another person might need for their own use, for their own healing. So thank you for that, man.
Jerry.
Yeah.
My struggle with becoming has been faltering over the years without saying, but every little miracle that comes to me, and this is a small thing to take up your time and the group's time to mention this morning, but a long time ago, I was really into the life of the Peace Pilgrim. And before the program started this morning, the group started, I was sitting here trying to remember, because I'm 76 years old now, my memory is not what it used to be. And I was trying to remember what that Peace Pilgrim, I couldn't remember. I could remember the pilgrim part and I can remember her life story, but I could not put the peace onto it. And just as I'm listening to you earlier, I hear you say Peace Pilgrim, and immediately I know that that's what I'm trying to remember and can't. And that's just such a small thing, but to me it was just so validating this morning that God knew that God, as I understand, God knew that I was struggling to recall, because I've got a book I'm trying to find and I couldn't remember Peace Pilgrim. I could remember Pilgrim, but not peace. And when you said it, I said, praise God. Now I know how to find that book. That's so great. Thank you and thank the group. You're lovely people this morning.
More than welcome, Selma. Thanks for sharing that. I think it's about our time. So let's put your stuff down for a moment. Oh, we had an action-packed class this morning. Take a moment to close your eyes if you'd like. Breathe. And in the silence, in the spaciousness, give yourself a moment to listen to Spirit talking to you, speaking to you. The Spirit is going to give you one word that will be a reflection of your work, your spiritual work today. One word. Let it come to you now. Breathe it into your being. Even if you misplace it sometime today, it will be there for you. All you have to do is get quiet again. And with an open heart of thankfulness for each one of us here, for those who shared out loud, for those who shared in quiet, your presence is just as important as your words. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Stretch a bit. Open your eyes when you're ready. I might do a longer meditation around that, send it out with the class reflection tonight or tomorrow. So my suggestion for today and other days is to be open to the possibility. Be open to the possibility. Because what that does is that creates the possibility. So thank you all for being here, for yourselves, for one another.
Yes.
Have a wonderful week, guys.
Thank you, Jerry, and everybody.
Take care.
Thank you. Thanks, Jerry.
Have a great week.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for blessing me.
Yeah, I was just not feeling terribly well this morning.
Thanks, Jerry.
Should be fine. It's one of those mornings.